Take your Bibles, if it's possible, if you do so, and you turn to me again to Esther chapter 7. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. And Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Our lesson today will be the sad ending of an unsaved individual. Today we're going to bring you one more message on this portion of the Word of God, and I think we need to bring these things out because of the fact there's so many great truths in here. Last time we pointed out the justice of God as it was in action, and we pointed out that the justice of God is sovereign, and a lot of people don't seem to understand that the Lord God of heaven is a sovereign God. He does as he pleases, who with whom he pleases, how he pleases, and when he pleases. And nobody can stay his hand and say unto him, What doest thou? Because he ruleth in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And my friend, if you don't know the Lord God of heaven, who's a sovereign God, and people today don't seem to understand that, because so many times they think that God can't do anything unless they allow him to do so. This is the fallacy of evangelism at this present hour. They're trying to do the work of God, the Holy Spirit, instead of relying upon the Holy Spirit to do the work of God in the sinner's heart. And if this bothers you, my friend, I want to say to you very kindly, no man can confess Jesus is Lord but by or through the Holy Ghost. Now, in our lesson today, we're going to look again at Haman, the type of the unawakened sinner, and then also Esther, the position of a true believer before the king. Now, three things stand out with regard to Esther, or four things stand out with regard to Esther. Number one, Esther was favored of the king. Remember now, King Ahasuerus made her his queen. Esther chapter 2 brings that out, and we find the Lord God of heaven has made the children of God his bride, and we find if you get converted today, all right, you become a part of the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 30 and 31 bring that out very clearly. Secondly, we find Esther was favored of the king, and he made her his queen, and then also there was a marvel of grace that she had this position. You see, Esther had nothing, knew nothing, deserved nothing but judgment. And that's the way every sinner is at this present hour. You and I, we have nothing, we can do nothing, we deserve nothing but judgment. And yet we find it's a marvel of God's grace that we become a child of the living God. Esther, remember now, Esther was a Jew. Secondly, she was a slave. And yet, thirdly, she was chosen by the king. And my friend, that's a picture of God's salvation today. If you're a saved individual, all right, you stood before God one day a slave of sin. Whosoever committed sin is of the devil, the scripture says. And I'll tell you right now, we're either the servants of Christ or we are the servants of sin. And at one time, we were all the servants of sin, and we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But aren't you glad that the Lord God of heaven didn't leave you in this position? My friend, I've said it before, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to reach down and save you. And I want to bring this out very clearly. Salvation is not so much the sinner accepting Christ as it is the sinner being accepted by Christ. And we need to understand that. So many people today, they say, well, God can't save you unless you allow Him to. No, that's not true. That's a heresy. And when people believe that, it shows there's something wrong with their relationship to the Lord God of heaven. Then there are others who believe this well, God has predestinated me to salvation, and therefore there's nothing I can do, and I have to worry about it, because I'm predestinated, and therefore I'm already gone, I'm ready to go. No, my friend, that's a fallacious viewpoint also. And you see, you have one extreme to the other. But I want to say to you very kindly, every individual that the Lord God of heaven ever saves has been chosen by the Lord God of heaven before the foundation of the world. Our names were given to the Lord Jesus Christ, who wrote them in His book before we were ever born. And my friend, you and I need to understand that. All right, what does it mean? There came a time in our life when God the Holy Spirit did what? He singled us out. He moved upon us, showed us who we were, what we were, the judgment we're under. And then what happened? I'll tell you right now. He also put a cry in our heart to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners. And then in due time, the Lord God of heaven did what? He reached down and saved us. And I'll tell you right now, you know it when it takes place. It's an inward call by the Lord God of heaven. And I tell you again, you never, never, never get over it. Now let me stop right here. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or am I preaching to you a foreign language? Now let's go back to Esther again. Esther is a position of the true believer before the Lord God of heaven. All right? She was favored by the king. He made her his queen, and it was a marvel of grace that she had this position. She was a Jew, she was a slave, yet she was chosen by the king to become his bride. Secondly, Esther was free to tell the king all her problems. In Esther chapter 7, we find again verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Now what's that mean? Well, she was free to tell the king her problems. And my friend, you and I are free to tell the Lord God of heaven our problems. Because what does He tell us? He tells us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto the Lord God of heaven. And then He also tells us in Matthew chapter 7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And how true that is. Now let me stop right here. Are you asking the Lord God of heaven for your assistance today? Listen, my friend, God requests you to lay your problems before Him. And Esther was requested to bring her problem unto the king. He asked her what was wrong. Refusal would have been to insult the king and also do injury to her and her people. And my friend, today, God wants us to bring our requests unto Him. The third thing about it is this. When the king found out about it, what happened? The full power of the throne was committed to her welfare. Now you say, well, preacher, is God doing that today? Yes, He is, if necessary. The Lord God of heaven will personally intervene if necessary. Because you see, He works all things after the counsel of His will. And whatever problem we have, rest assured of one thing. If you're a child of God, the first thing that takes place is this. It goes by the throne of grace, and then it's for our good as well as for His glory. Many times we don't understand that. But always remember one thing. We have the full power of the Godhead committed to our welfare. That's why Satan hates us like he does. He can't do anything to us anymore. He'll try to make us to be the sorriest kind of a believer, if possible, so that if it were able to do so, we'd lose our salvation. But my friend, the Lord God of heaven, when He saves us with an eternal salvation. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Now, let's look at the full power of the throne committed to her welfare. Listen to Esther, she said. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Now this filled the king with astonishment, and so he said these words, "Who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther singled him out. The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. The full power of the throne was committed to the welfare of Esther. There was a personal intervention, there was also a prompt execution, and there was a fearful judgment that fell upon anyone who dare harm the children of God. You see, Haman was stripped of all semblance of his sufficiency, and I'll tell you right now, he became a spectacle to others, of the preciousness to the king of his beloved. And my friend, the Lord God of heaven has made you his precious son of God or daughter of God if you're redeemed. I'll tell you, and his church is the apple of his eye, and don't ever forget it. Now let's look at the second thing for just a moment or two, because my time is almost gone. Haman, we're going to look at him one more time, and we see him. Haman, a type of the unawakened sinner. Now hold your seat. Before you get saved, you're going to have to be awakened by God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit, when He awakens you, He will convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Now let's look at Haman. We find Haman a type of the unawakened sinner. Number one, he was contemptuous of the elect of God. Now in Esther chapter 3, we find again, listen to what it says. And then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, "Why transgressest thou the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass, when they spake daily to him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were in throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Here we find Haman contemptuous of the elect of God. And individuals are that way today. So many times people have said, well, if you're a believer, it's nothing but an opiate of religion for those that are weak, and so on and so forth. And nothing could be further from the truth. Secondly, Haman was not only contemptuous, but he was conspiring against those that dare oppose him. And that's the way the average sinner is at this present hour. I'll tell you right now, this kind of preaching will go across the grain of individuals, and they're either going to love it or else they're going to hate it. And I've been castigated more than once, my friend. I've even been kicked out of the church because I preached the truth of God. But it doesn't make any difference. We find Haman is a type of the unawakened sinner, all right, contemptuous of the elect of God, and conspiring against those who dare oppose him. And I'll tell you right now, when you're a believer, you're going to be politically incorrect in this society at this hour. The third thing about Haman was this. He was conceited over his accomplishments. Listen to him brag, if you will, just before he got hung. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said moreover, "Yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited with her, or unto her also with the king." You see, he's conceited over his accomplishments. And how many people today are in that same category? Conceited over their accomplishments. And they forget one thing. God Almighty is the one that enables us to accomplish anything. We can't do anything apart from the Lord God of heaven. But people today don't seem to understand that. And they don't seem to realize that. And yet we find Haman was in the same category. He was contemptuous. He was conspiring. He was also conceited over his accomplishments. And then he was concerned, but too late, over his destiny. In Esther chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, we read, "And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, rising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, would he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now what do you have here? Haman was concerned over his destiny, but it was too late. Now I wonder how many of you are in that category. Always remember one thing, my friend. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Your life and mine is nothing but a vapor in on this world. We can say one thing, but we can only do one thing at a time. And I'll tell you right now, tomorrow never comes, but how we ought to be preparing for it anyway. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, Haman was concerned, but too late, over his destiny. He knew what he had done wrong before Esther the queen, and he stood up before her to beg her for mercy. And when he did, he fell upon the couch where she was. And I'll tell you, when the king walked in and saw him doing that, he thought, here was a man that was even trying to rape the queen in front of me. And it made him even more angry than ever before. Oh, listen, Haman was concerned, but too late, over his destiny. And a lot of people are in that same category. Now, why do I tell you these things? Because in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, we find the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Beginning at 24, where we read, listen to what it says. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Let me stop and ask you a question at this hour. Are you ready to meet the Lord God of heaven? Are you ready to go out into eternity? Have you ever thought about your destiny, my radio friend? Haman became concerned about it, but it was too late. Because, you see, he was concerned about his destiny. He saw that there was determined evil was determined against him by the king. And, my friend, when God opens the heart of a sinner, the sinner is known that the evil is determined against him by the king. And that evil is, what is it? It's the condemnation of the law that every sinner is under until that individual gets converted. The next thing about Haman was this. I want you to notice. He was consigned to sudden death and damnation. In Esther chapter 7, verses 8, we read, then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the words went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. What did they do? I'll tell you what they did. They grabbed him, and they bound him, and they covered his face. And we find this is what happened. Then Harbona, one of the king's chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Here we find the end and the destiny of a wicked sinner. The name is Haman. He was a Jew's enemy. And I'll tell you right now, he was consigned to sudden death and destruction. Now someone might say, now preacher, I'm not in that category. Yes, you are, unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about? Can you show me that in the New Testament? I most certainly can. I invite you to turn with me to the third chapter of the book of John, and you listen to what it says in John chapter 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now you're in one of two places. You're either for Christ or you're against Christ. And in John chapter 3 and verse 36, we read again, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And people need to be made to understand that unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, my friend, the anger and the wrath of God is resting upon them, and they're living under a reprieve. They're condemned already before the Lord. They're living under a reprieve, and how long that reprieve is going to last, only the Lord God of heaven knows. Now here we find the destiny of an unawakened sinner. Now my time is almost gone. I want to ask you a question. Has the Lord God of heaven ever awakened you and shown you your need of Christ? Has he ever shown you that you're a poor, lost, hell-bound, hell-bent, and hell-deserving sinner? And my friend, there's nothing you can do but to plead for mercy. And my friend, when that takes place, I'll tell you right now, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you this side of eternity. Because it means when God does that, he's going to reach down and save you. You see, every sinner without Christ is contemptuous of God. And this world is getting worse and worse. And I'll tell you right now, we're about ready to have the judgment of God fall upon this world. Oh, my friend today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, my hope is that something has been said that the Spirit of God will deal with your heart and show you your need of Him. The greatest thing can take place in your life is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And my prayer is that He'll do it even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.